They looked at each other for a long moment, but had the sense to leave it at that.
So, what are your plans, Ed? Going to join the rebellion?
Maybe. Things have been getting pretty tough for me upstairs. I could use a new direction and a measure of security. Tell me, Finley, were you really a fighter in the arena?
He was the masked gladiator.
Evangeline and Finley both laughed aloud at the expression on Adrienne's face. She quickly pulled herself together and managed to laugh with them.
Who knows? If I put my mind to it, maybe I can nag Lionstone into making reforms.
If anyone could, you could.
Finley teleported into the interrogation center with a sword in his hand and grim determination in his heart. He snapped into being halfway down a dimly lit corridor, facing half a dozen rather surprised-looking guards. They had swords in their hands, too, but it didn't help them. Finley plowed straight into them, his sword flashing in short, brutal arcs, and blood-choked screams filled the corridor. He killed them all in under a minute, and then stood poised and ready, listening for reinforcements. The seconds passed, and no one came to investigate. The few brief sounds from the one-sided slaughter obviously hadn't traveled far. Finley dismissively flicked drops of blood from his blade. Not much fun. Strictly amateur hour. No challenge at all. If this was the Empire's idea of a trap, this mission was going to be a walkover. Then he noted the camera set into the ceiling, watching him with glowing, unblinking eyes, and decided it might be a good idea if he got a move on after all. Given what the cameras had just observed, reinforcements were probably already on their way in great numbers with guns and guard dogs. He'd never liked dogs. He looked up and down the corridor and wished he'd thought to ask for a map. The corridor was sparsely lit by dull glowing lamps set into the ceiling. The walls were bare, featureless steel with no markings or signs. Narrow doors led off into interrogation cells at regular intervals. Solid steel doors, sealed with electronic locks. Deep shadows lay undisturbed to every side, and there was a strong smell of disinfectant in the air, almost, but not quite, masking other, more unpleasant smells. Julian Skye was here somewhere, but exactly where was anyone's guess. The Underground had taken pains not to send him to the exact location of Skye's beacon. Materializing inside a locked cell, where everyone would be expecting him, had not struck anyone as a good idea, least of all Finley. So they picked the nearest open space and dropped him there. Finley looked around him vaguely, hefted his sword, and, for want of anything better to do, moved over to the nearest door. There was a small view screen set into the solid steel. Finley activated it, and the screen showed him what was inside the cell. The man spread-eagled on the metal table had been expertly flayed. Not a square inch of skin remained on him, but he was still very much alive. He moved feebly, struggling against unseen restraints. Raw red muscle glistened wetly. Naked eyes bulged from lidless sockets. Blood seeped constantly onto the table, carried away by grooves and runnels cut into the metal. New blood flowed into a pulsing vein from an IV drip. Finley turned off the screen and leaned his forehead against the cold metal of the cell door. There was nothing he could do. He couldn't rescue everyone. He didn't have the time. The Underground had been quite specific about that. He had to get to Skye before he could spill anything important. Finley took a deep breath and let it out. To hell with them, and to hell with the Empire. He was damned if he let obscenities like this continue. He used the lock scrambling mechanism the Underground had provided, and the cell door swung silently open. Finley slipped inside, and the man on the table whimpered in anticipation of fresh pain. Finley leaned over him, making soothing, shushing noises, and the prisoner grew quiet. It was only then that Finley realized the man had been riveted to the table by firing metal spikes through his limbs and body. There were dozens of them. Finley had no way of removing them, short of levering them out one at a time, and the shock alone would almost certainly finish the poor bastard off anyway. but he couldn't leave him to suffer like this. Finley stood a moment, mind racing as he tried to come up with some other alternative. But in the end, there was only one thing he could do. He smiled reassuringly down into the prisoner's naked, hopeful eyes, and slipped the point of his sword into the exposed, beating heart. There was a brief splash of blood. The flayed man jerked once, and then he stopped breathing. Finley kicked at the table once in frustration, and then left the cell. He stalked down the corridor, throwing open the cell doors one by one, freeing those prisoners he could. He killed the others. Some of them begged him to do it. The survivors spilled out into the corridor, milling about him, trying to thank him with voices grown raw from screaming. Finley armed some of the sturdier ones with weapons from the guards he'd killed, and then left them to their own devices. At least, that was the plan. There was the sound of running feet, and then a full company of armed guards rounded the corner at the far end of the corridor and came charging toward him. Finley smiled. This was more like it. And then there was the sound of running feet behind him, and he turned to see another company of armed guards approaching from the other end of the corridor. The freed prisoners crowded in close around Finley. He sighed regretfully. It would have been an interesting fight, but he knew his limitations. Besides, he had to think of the prisoners. He pulled the mind bomb from his pocket and pressed the big red button. The guards before and behind him stumbled to a halt, clutching at their heads and screaming. Their thoughts shattered and fragmented, their minds scrambled beyond sense or meaning, and in a moment, they had changed from an organized army into a crazed, panic-stricken mob. Finley and the freed prisoners watched, impressed, protected by their immediate proximity to the mind bomb device. Finley turned it off and left the prisoners to deal with the still shrieking mob while he went on about his business. A long-delayed revenge filled the corridor, and blood spattered the shining steel walls. Finley carried on opening doors and freeing prisoners until finally he came to the cell with Julian Skye in it, and he stopped in the doorway, held by the shock of what he was seeing. The young Esper lay on his back on another of the damned steel tables, held firmly in place by restraining straps. The back of his head had been shaved and cut open, and a section of the skull removed. Dozens of colorful wires disappeared into the exposed brain tissue, leading back into an ugly piece of machinery beside the table. Two mind techs in their familiar white gowns looked up from what they were doing and smiled pleasantly at Finley as he hesitated in the doorway. They both had disruptors holstered on their hips, but neither made any move to draw them. Finley moved slowly forward into the cell, ignoring the growing chaos of screams and pain and fury in the corridor outside. There were no guards in the cell, no obvious protection or booby traps. The mind techs eyed the blood dripping from his sword and smiled briefly at each other. They were both tall and slender men, with pale, aesthetic faces like monks, one clearly older than the other. The elder looked back at Finley and smiled again.
"Welcome, dear boy. We've been expecting you. Or someone like you. I'm afraid if you came to rescue dear Julian, you're a little too late. Any attempt to move him now would undoubtedly kill him. We're using an S-blocker to restrain his talents, and its function cancels out the effects of the mind bomb you used. Nasty little device, but quite ineffective in here. And you might as well put that sword away. I only have to touch this control under my hands, and dear Julian will experience pain beyond your capability to imagine. Put the sword away, please. Now."
Finley sheathed his sword, but his eyes didn't waver.
"What are you doing to him?"
The mind tech smiled, unmoved.
"We're invading his thoughts. Not that long ago, we would have used one of Worm Boy's little pets, but thanks to your terrorist friends, we are obliged to use older, more direct methods. Well, it's essentially a simple and very effective mind probe, electronically stimulating the areas of the brain we're interested in. This one, for example, is tied directly into the pleasure pain center. Guess which part we're interested in? The procedure itself is surprisingly painless, I imagine he felt some discomfort from the original invasive procedures, but the brain itself has no pain sensors. It makes our job so much easier, to be able to inflict pain only as needed. And what pain he feels then. Oh, and these honor wires are concerned with short and long-term memory. We can play back his memories on that screen on the wall in as much detail as we require. Soon we'll have everything we want, regardless of the patient's wishes. The procedure is, unfortunately, quite destructive to his brain tissue in the long run. But the health or even life of this patient is of no concern to anyone once we have what we want. Except, of course, you. The guard will be here soon to take you away. In the meantime, please refrain from any violent action, or you can listen to your friend screaming.
It had grown quiet in the corridor outside. Finley frowned. Either the prisoners had run out of guards to kill, or the guards had succeeded in restoring order. He had no way of knowing which. He should just kill the Mind Techs and then kill Sky. But as long as there was still a chance of getting the poor bastard out alive, he couldn't do that. He needed the Techs to remove the wires, but he didn't know how to make them do that. Kill one and the other could take a very nasty revenge on Sky. But he couldn't just hang around waiting while the Mind Techs stalled. Sooner or later, the guards would come for him. He looked across at Sky's face, pale and sweating, and the Esper's eyes met his.
Please,
he said faintly, fighting to get the word out.
You see, he understands the reality of the situation.
Please, kill me.
The Mind Tech looked down at him sharply. Finley laughed softly, and there was no humor in the sound at all.
Yes, Doctor. He understands the reality of the situation completely. My mission is to put him beyond your reach, one way or the other.
He drew his disruptor in one swift movement and shot the Mind Tech, whose hands were on the controls. The younger Tech lunged for the controls. Finley drew a dagger from his sleeve and put it expertly through the technician's eye. He fell backward, clutching at his face with both hands, and then hit the floor hard and lay still. Finley nodded once, satisfied, put his disruptor away, and moved forward to lean over Sky. The Esper looked up at him and tried to smile. The marks of his recent beating were still obvious on his face, but his gaze was clear.
I know they'd send someone. If I could just hold out long enough.
What do I do? I don't understand this machinery. Is there any way I can get this stuff out of your head?
No. But I can now.
Sky closed his eyes and concentrated. For a long moment, nothing happened. And then, one by one, the colored wires began to squirm and wriggle their way out of the exposed brain tissues. They fell to coil harmlessly on the floor, like so many dead snakes. And when the last one finally worked its way free, Sky relaxed so utterly that Finley was worried that the Esper was dead. He checked the pulse in Sky's neck, but it was strong and regular. Finley set about undoing the restraints, working as fast as he could. The guards had to be on their way by now. He sat Sky up on the table, and blood ran down the Esper's neck from the ugly wound in the back of his head. Finley gingerly pulled the flaps of cut skin together to cover the exposed brain, and held them in place with a handkerchief wrapped around the Esper's shaved head. Luckily, it was a clean one. Sky's eyes opened suddenly, as though he'd just been thinking. He looked at his reflection in the steel wall and smiled.
Nice work. I look like a pirate. But this doesn't change anything. There's no way you can get me out of here, and I won't let them take me again. So kill me.
That's not an option.
Don't tell me that wasn't part of your orders. My silence is what matters. I know how the underground works.
Dying is easy. Anyone can do it. But if you give up, if you choose to die, rather than fight for a chance at life and freedom, then the Mind Techs will have won. They'll have broken you. Stay alive, break free, and get your revenge on the bastards who ordered this done to you. That's what the Underground and the Rebellion are all about. Now, if I can get you out of range of the S-blocker, can you find us a way out of here?
I don't know. Maybe.
Julian smiled weakly.
It's worth a try. They had to turn the S-Blocker's influence way down to avoid damaging my brain while they were working on it. And being this close to a mind bomb did the Blocker some damage. That's how I was able to get those wires out of my head. If you can get me a few corridors away, the rest of my ASP should return. And then I'll show you some real fireworks.
A man after my own heart. Let's go.
He helped the young Esper down from the table and supported him for a moment till his legs got their strength back. Although he did his best to hide it, Finley was concerned about Skye's condition. The Empire had clearly beaten the hell out of him before they started tinkering with his brain. If it came to a fight, or even a prolonged chase, they could be in real trouble. He decided he'd think about that when he had to, and not before, and led the way out of the interrogation cell. Dead guards and espers lay scattered the length of the corridor, but everyone else had gone. The fight had moved on, deeper into the heart of the complex. Finley wondered who was winning. Skye looked up and down the corridor, and then moved forward to take the lead.
The layout of these places is pretty standardized.
Skye stepped gingerly over the bodies.
I did a study on the Empire's interrogation centers for the underground a while back. We were planning rescue missions with telepaths and mind bombs. But that was before the scattering. If I remember correctly, these corridors should all eventually tie into a central rotunda. From that, I should be able to find us a way to the main flyer station. Then all we have to do is fight our way past a dozen guards, hotwire a flyer without setting off all the explosive booby traps, and then get the hell out of here before they crank up the S-blockers and knock out my powers again.
No problem.
There's going to be a lot of guards between us and there.
I've still got the mind bomb.
Save it. It's only good for half a dozen blasts or so, and then the brain tissue burns up.
We can do without it. You've got me.
Skye looked at him.
Are you always this confident?
Of course. Why do you think the Underground chose me for this mission? So stop worrying. It'll give you ulcers. You stick with me, and I'll get you out of here.
Skye smiled genuinely for the first time.
You're just might at that.
He led the way down one corridor after another, never hesitating at a turn or a blind corner. The corridors all looked the same to Finley, but he trusted Skye. The young Esper was standing straighter now, though the pain in his head clearly bothered him. His eyes were brighter, and there were two spots of color in his pale cheeks. He still looked as though a strong wind would blow him away, but his confidence was returning. And then they turned a corner, and Skye stopped dead in his tracks, his head cocked slightly to one side, as though listening. Finley looked quickly about him, but the corridor was deserted.
Talk to me, Skye. What is it?
We're in trouble.
I guessed that. Be specific.
When we were all held in Silo 9, Wormboy allowed mind techs and other scientists to experiment on the inmates. Most died. They were the lucky ones. The survivors were monsters, changed in body and mind, no longer human. A few escaped during the underground assault, but most were too securely confined. After Wormboy was killed during the assault, the monsters were transferred here in the hope of finding some new way of controlling them. The authorities must really not want us escaping. They've released a dozen of the monsters into the corridors. They're insane with rage and pain. They'll attack anything that moves. And they're heading right for us.
Finley looked quickly around him again, but all seemed quiet for the moment.
How's your ASP? Is it back yet?
Some, but even a full Psystorm wouldn't stop minds like these.
Any chance you could contact the Underground and get us a teleport out of here?
No. This whole place is surrounded by S-blockers. You got in only because they let you in. We either find our own way out, or the monsters will be picking what's left of us out of their back teeth.
Finley thought hard.
What about maintenance tunnels, air ducts, that sort of thing?
All securely locked and guarded. This is a prison, remember? Brace yourself. They're coming.
Finley took up a stance between Skye and the direction he'd indicated, sword in one hand, gun in the other. The first sounds of approaching feet reached him, loud and uneven. He could hear roars and howls and sounds that had no place in a human throat. The sounds grew nearer, and Finley took aim with his disruptor. And then the monsters surged around the corner at the end of the corridor, and all Finley could do was stare. Some had bulging brains that had broken apart their skulls from the inside and thrust out through the cracks. Some had bony thorns thrusting out through their flesh. Others had white, livid flesh, already rotting away from their bones. High tech had been grafted onto and into that flesh, replacing body parts with augmentations until hardly any of their humanity was left. just flesh in metal cages. Some still looked mostly human, but rippled the walls of the corridor as they passed, as though reality itself was shifting around them, disturbed by their inhuman and uncontrolled esp. Finley breathed heavily. There were bad odds, and then there were bad odds, and this was both. He switched his gun from one target to another, but whichever he took out, the others would get him long before the gun could recharge for another shot. And for once, it didn't matter a damn how good a swordsman he was. Cold steel was no match for Esp. He looked at Sky.
You know these things better than I do. Is there any way we can reach them? You're an Esper, dammit. You must still have something in common with them.
I'll try. But they're not really Espers anymore. They've moved beyond that.
He reached out with his Esp, but it was like looking at flaring lights in the night, all color and brightness and fury, without meaning or content. If they had thoughts, he couldn't understand them. All he could share was the rage and horror and suffering that filled their lives. So he did the only thing he could. He gathered up the fury in their minds, threw it back at them, and made each of them think it came from the others around them. The monsters screamed and fell upon each other, rending and tearing, and blood that was not always red flew on the air. Esp clashed with Esp, till the air shimmered and sparkled, and the steel walls ran like water from the strength of it. Sky stepped backward, his hands to his head, trying to block it out. Finley holstered his gun and dragged him away from the carnage in the corridor.
Don't lose it, Sky. There must be another way out of here. We'll find it.
They ran down the corridor together, Sky shaking his head over and over again. He tried to say something to Finley, but couldn't get it out. Finley understood. Some of the monsters could have been people the Esper knew before they ended up in Silo 9. Some might even have been friends. There, but for the grace of God in the underground. And then they rounded a corner, and Finley jerked them both to a halt. A full company of guards was blocking the way ahead. They raised their guns to fire, and Finley dragged Sky back around the corner just in time. A few energy bolts flashed past them, but most of the guards had enough sense not to fire blindly. Using a disruptor in a confined space was always risky. You never knew when the beam might ricochet right back at you. Finley pulled the mind bomb out of his pocket, but Sky put a restraining hand on his arm.
Not a good idea. Use the mind bomb and there's no telling what it might do to the monsters. It might snap them out of the confusion I put them in and bring them down on us again. And even if it doesn't, do you really want to send that many armed men insane at such close quarters?
You have a point. Monsters behind, guards ahead. Damned if we do, damned if we don't. Looks like we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. Don't worry. I'm the best there ever was with a sword, and this is where I get to prove it.
Sky looked at him.
There are too many of them, and they've all got guns. Disruptors don't care how good a swordsman you are.
If I can get into the middle of them fast enough, they won't dare use their guns for fear of shooting each other. Sure, the odds aren't good, but when have they ever been? The important thing is to fight, and if need be, go down fighting. As long as there's still a chance, however slim, we fight on. That's what the underground is all about. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
You could surrender. They really only want me.
That is not an option. I said I'd get you out or die trying, and I will. Now, be quiet and let me concentrate. There's a way out of this. If only I can see it, there's always a way out.
No, sometimes there isn't. We've armed guards ahead and monsters behind, and nowhere else to go. It was a nice try, Finley, but it's over.
Then we take as many of them with us as we can, because as long as we're still fighting, they haven't really beaten us.
Sky smiled suddenly.
Thanks for coming after me. I never really expected anyone like you. At least this way, I get to die on my feet.
Don't give up yet. We could still get lucky.
And that was when the roof fell in. The floor buckled and rose up under their feet, and the walls split apart with screams of rending steel. The guards were yelling in confusion, and alarm sirens blared deafeningly from all directions. Sky and Finley clung to each other for support, Finley trying to shield the fragile Esper with his own body. There was a constant rumbling roar of shifting metal and concrete as the building rocked slowly around them. The light snapped out, and for a long moment there was only darkness, before the dull red glow of emergency lighting returned. In the distance, there were sudden, sharp explosions, and from everywhere came the sound of screaming. Some of it didn't sound human. The floor bulged upwards slowly, and then settled, and the rumbling died away. Everything was still. People were shouting orders or screaming for help. It all sounded a long way off. Finley straightened up, still supporting the Esper with one arm. Blood was flowing down Finley's face from a long gash in his temple, but he ignored it. He could hear the crackling of fires and smell the beginnings of smoke in the air.
What the hell was that?
Sky stared blearily about him into the crimson light.
Could it have been an earthquake?
That was a miracle. And since they tend to be few and far between, I suggest we get the hell out of here before the authorities get their act together, and we need another miracle.
He led the way over the uneven floor, with Sky sticking close behind him. Around the corner, the guards were all dead. The ceiling had caved in on them. Finley stepped carefully over and around the great slabs of concrete, avoiding the occasional sharp edges of ruptured steel. A guard stirred as he passed, and Finley paused just long enough to cut the man's throat before moving on.
Was that really necessary?
Yes.
Finley didn't look back.
Now he can't tell anyone which way we went. Never allow the enemy anything they can use against you.
Sky shook his head admiringly.
You're a real fighter, my friend. I haven't seen anyone like you since my brother Auric.
What does he do?
He doesn't. He died in the arena, butchered by the masked gladiator. May his soul rot in hell.
Finley Campbell, who had once been known as the Masked Gladiator, said nothing. Together, he and Julian Skye made their way through the devastated corridors of the interrogation center, and nobody stopped or challenged them. When they finally walked out the front door and saw what had happened to the surrounding city, they knew why. They made their way through the ruins of the starport with no more trouble than anyone else. The streets might be blocked with debris from toppled buildings, but security was a joke. The authorities had their own problems to worry about. Sky found a way down into the largely untouched maintenance tunnels down below, and from there it was a relatively easy trip back to the underground center. Only to find that everyone was far too busy to talk to them. The main meeting chamber was a mass of confusion, swamped with people rushing this way and that, shouting orders and information to people who weren't listening. Finley finally grabbed the nearest person, slammed him up against the nearest wall, stuck his face in close, and demanded to know what was going on. His victim glared at him incredulously.
Where the hell have you been? Gorgoth has been attacked by an alien starship. Completely unknown. It's like nothing anyone's ever even seen before. It trashed most of the starport before it was finally driven off.
Finley scowled.
What happened to the defense systems?
They're still down from the new rebels' attack on the Tax HQ. When the alien ship arrived, there was nothing left to stop it. The deaths and damage in the city have been horrific. We rode out most of it down here, but up above, everything's gone to hell in a handcart for us and the Empire. Most of our above-ground agents are either dead or scattered. Communication chains have been shattered.
He was starting to babble, and Finley shook him hard to get his attention back.
What's the underground doing to take advantage of the situation?
God only knows. Everyone's got a different idea or plan for saving the moment, or at least for providing damage limitations, but no one's listening to anyone else. I've heard everything suggested from launching attacks on Empire installations while they're still vulnerable, to taking all the underground even deeper into the subsystems in order to avoid the inevitable backlash when Golgotha's population discovers the aliens' attack was made possible only because the new rebels lowered the planetary defenses. Can I go now, please? I was on my way to the toilet, and if anything, my need is even worse now than it was.
Finley let him go and led Sky through the crowd, listening to as many voices as he could. The only thing everyone seemed to agree on was that the whole mess was the fault of the new rebels. People had a lot of ideas about what should be done about them, withdrawing and quartering coming a close second to very slow impalement. And then the three Esper leaders suddenly manifested in the center of the chamber, silencing the chaos with a telepathic bellow so loud that even Finley heard it. Everyone subsided, holding their heads and wincing. Mr. Perfect, the Mundala, and the dragon in its tree glared around them, and only a few people, including Finley, were able to look back.
If you've all quite finished, perhaps we could discuss the situation in a calm, intelligent, and above all, quiet manner. First off, things are not as bad as they seem. Most of us came through the attack alive, thanks to how far we live beneath the surface. Our cells above can be rebuilt, and communications reestablished. However, we are in no condition to mount attacks against anybody, let alone Empire installations we have no way of even getting to through the current chaos. In addition, Finley Campbell has returned safely, with Julian Skye, against all the odds, rescued before he could be made to talk. So we need no longer worry about having to scatter again. Feel free to applaud, but keep the noise down. We've got a headache.
There was scattered applause, but the crowd remained restive and uncertain. Some parts seemed actually mutinous. Skye looked a little put out at the muted reaction to his safe return, but Finley didn't give a damn. He hadn't done it for the applause. He looked around for Evangeline, or even Adrienne, but the crowd was too big. Mr. Perfect began speaking again, a frown marring his classical features, like graffiti on a famous portrait.
It is imperative we establish proper contact with the new rebels as soon as possible. We sent Alexander Storm and the Stevie Blues to join the raiding party and return with them, but it's clear we're going to need a cooler, more politically minded envoy to represent our views in the future. We need an ambassador to link both of us together. It is vital that future raids or attacks be decided by both of us in advance, precisely to prevent this kind of destruction happening again. What little goodwill the underground had among the general population vanished with the alien ship's first strafing run. The Council has discussed this, and we have a volunteer to be our ambassador, Evangeline Schreck.